Okay, so we're going to talk about how you view someone who's a heretic. How do we, in the Torah, how do we view someone who doesn't believe in God? Okay? So, you view the person, I don't know, is it Russia, is it, how would you view this kind of person? All right, so what are some of the options, what would you say? Or maybe it might depend.
Depends on if he was educated or not about God. Or
so maybe you'd say it depends whether he was educated and had a chance to know something or to believe. And then it's interesting, you're making an assumption that, you know, as long as someone's educated, they're obviously going to believe in God. I'm just saying, like,
no, not necessarily. But I mean, if he was raised as an atheist, he may not have ever learned anything different.
Right. Right. So I'm saying, is it simply that you have to be provided with the knowledge? So, you know, there are many people who've been provided with knowledge and they just,
I think
it doesn't
more
click.
Than that. It's how you're raised more. Like, okay, you could be provided with the knowledge, but, you know, be taught the other side a lot more and be told over and over there is no God, and just because someone told you there's a God.
But that's true, but there are people who, like, you know, you have people, you know, siblings who grew up in the same home, same yeshiva, same rebbe.
Right, no, that's...
Okay,
that's,
so one student was hit more than the other one by the rebbe. I don't know. I'm saying, like, you have different situations, so like, how do we view these people? Yeah, what do you think?
I have a question, Robert. I'm not really much into the question, but when somebody accepts Hashem, is it only the person, or is it that Hashem also plays a role?
If someone what?
Is it the person?
If someone does what? If someone does what?
If someone accepts or he believes in Hashem, whichever way you
want. If someone believes in Hashem.
Yeah, is it only his own act, or is it that Hashem also plays a role?
Right. I think we believe that the relationship, I think Hashem does play a role. Like, I think so. Maybe. Well, that could, in other words, is it someone's fault that they don't believe in God?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the question. How do you do that? So we're going to see there are different approaches to this. So the Rambam says, this is the Rambam Hilchos Teshuvah, Perek Gimel Achazai. It says, Chamisha Heim HaNikra Minim. There are five people who are in the category of a min. Right? So, HaOmer She'ein Shem Eloka Ve'en La'olam HaMani. Someone who said there's no God, or there's no one running the world. But there is someone running the world. But these two or more. Or he says that there is one master, but he has a body or a form. Or you see that he's not the first creation. Right? All these are rejecting what? These are rejecting the first principles of faith we've been talking about the past few sessions. That you have, you know, the first five principles of faith of the Rambam describe God Himself, that God is beyond time, beyond space. He created the world. He doesn't have. He's yachid. He's singular, and it's fit to pray to Him. So it seems that if you do not believe in one of these categories, you're called a min. And also, that's the fifth principle of faith. If you serve a star or some constellation to be an intermediary between you and God, so call Echa Mechamisha Elo Humin. So that you're a min, you're halachically categorized as a min if you reject the first five principles of faith, right? The next four about prophecy and Torah, and the last four about the providence and reward and punishment. So that's the route. Yeah.
Is there a practical application of being called a min? Do we do something to
I'm not sure.
He's translating the minim as sectarians. Is that generally accepted that the sectarian groups were all those that, I guess they held up a certain form of belief in Judaism, yeah. I guess? But
I think the difference is, I don't know if there's a halakha between like a min and not because. I'm not aware of, but I haven't researched the topic, but I think I think he's categorized different types of, you know, rejections of principles of faith. So again, this probably translates I got from, I don't know, from Sephardi maybe, I don't know.
Oh yeah, because it could just mean different versions of Judaism, you know.
But I'm saying what the Rambam describes is the rejection of the first five principles of faith.
Well, and
I'm not trying to get controversial here, but would he put, like, would he consider, like, praying to, like, at the kever of someone, you know, as an intermediary to get, not to them, not
okay.
praying.
So,
them,
so praying you can get as controversial as you want, but I'm just saying, v'chein ha'ove kochav. I don't, I mean, first of all, if you want to be very precise, and there could be issues with this.
I'm not talking about praying to a person. I'm talking about praying to, like, as an intermediary.
I understand, but all I'm saying, but if you want to be precise in Lashon Rambam, is he says, v'chein ha'ove kochav umazal kedelios mele. So you serve him. I don't think the people who pray, again, I don't know what the Rambam would hold, whether it's appropriate to pray a kavar. I know it's obviously
I was actually more looking at the part about worshiping a star constellation as an intermediary.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is
when you pray at a kever, you're not serving. You're not serving it. You're asking this whatever the deceased to be a melech yosher.
Right.
So you're not doing a vote. You're not doing a service. You're making a request. I'm just saying, again, I don't know what the Rambam may have, Rambam may feel it's not appropriate that you should go straight, that we should do that. But I'm saying is, I wouldn't say that someone does fit into that category. Okay? So the Rambam points out, he says, Balama Karla Zamin, he says, why would you call someone who said that if someone has a body, that God has a body, why would you call them in? The Kama Gidolim V'Tolfim Imenu. There are greater and better people to him than the Rambam, at least according to the Rambam. The Rambam thinks that there are greater people than the Rambam. Holchu Bezuah Machshava. Follow this direction. Follow this thought. Lefisha Ma'ashim Ro'u B'Mikros. Based on what they saw in the Pesukim. V'Yosim Ma'ashiro B'Divrei Agados. Hamishab Shil Tzadeos. And also based on what they saw in the Agadic literature. Now, when we in a future class, we will delve into the debate between the Rambam and the Ravid exactly. I mean, the Ravid seems to say that there are people, he's not saying that they're necessarily correct, but he's saying that there are great people who, the way they read text, biblical text, they read Agadic text, and they made mistakes. So how can you call them a min? So it could be.
The Ravid is saying that they made mistakes, or that.
Well, look, mima shero b'divrei Agados hamishabshos esadeos, that they corrupt the right opinion. So it seems that there is this machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam will say that if you reject a principle, one of these five principles of faith, for whatever reason, then you would be considered a heretic. Whereas the Ravid saying that no, if you tried your best, if you learned it, you studied it, you made a good faith effort, and you got it wrong, you made a mistake. So it could be a really bad mistake, but you're not called a heretic.
Rabbi, it seems to me a little bit, I don't know, but it seems to me that wouldn't people that are before the Rambam have like a greater understanding of what Hashem is in
before you mean
this essence? Before, yeah, even before the Rambam. I mean, the Rambam, he didn't invent that. I mean, he didn't come to his mind. Right. He got it from the previous generation.
Right, and therefore what? So?
So, why people in previous generations that, according to the Rambam, were like great rabbis?
I don't know if he's saying in previous generations. He's saying maybe then and there. There are individuals, there are great people, superior people, who made really bad mistakes, who made mistakes, and you're going to call them a min? Again, I'm going to leave aside, like, how big is the gap between the Rambam saying he doesn't have a body, and when the Rambam saying there are people who say that he has a form, what exactly does the Rambam mean? I think that's a point of contention. It's not for now, but what's clear, I think, is in our question, how you define someone who doesn't believe, right, in one of these five principles of faith, is that you have a debate between the Rambam and the Rambam. The Rambam says, I don't care if you like... you know, don't understand if you read the text and you got it wrong, you're still a heretic. Whereas the Rambam says that it seems the Rambam say you're not a heretic. Apparently, this is Rav Amitav wrote an article on this, and he quoted, I didn't see this inside, but he quoted Rav Chaim Brisker, and he says that even though there are times that a person cannot be faulted for his heretical views, he says the following. He says a Nebuch Apikorus is still an Apikorus. In other words, In other words, the Chaim says that, you know, okay, so according to the Rambam, okay, you're right, maybe it's not his fault, but he's still not Bikoros. In other words, it is what it is. In other words, that we treat him as a heretic, even though it's not his fault. Whereas the Rambam would seem to say that...
Sorry, is the Ravid going on all five of these, or he's going on...
So, I don't know. Just, I don't know. I think...
But
what Yossi's at, no. He's challenged... He says that on the body argument, he's saying that there were great people who made a mistake based on their text. So why would that be any different than the other? It could just be that maybe there's more room to make a mistake with this as opposed to the other four principles of faith.
And we've seen it more commonly.
Yeah, so I'm saying, but I don't see why you would distinguish. Just right. That practically, it seems that there are, that's at least how I read, yeah. You know, the Ravid's...
The other ones are more... Need a statement of I believe that God does not that God is not the only one that would be like a statement right. As opposed to misinterpreting the scriptures how they describe it.
Yeah, but again, maybe people see what not good. We say was it Nasa other Betzalmenu, two gods. There you go. And you said no, and that's why in the Septuagint when they translate famous story, when the 70 scholars translated it into Greek, so they all translated it as saying Eselo, because it could lead to, I mean, you could, again, depending on how you read it, people can make different mistakes. But the Radvaz agrees with the Ravid. The Radvaz says, he says al shelas inyan hadorah shadorah v'rav and shisrael hayu choshim shemoshe ben hayu eloka. So there are people, there's some guy who, rabbi, I don't know, someone got up and he was a kid, he was a good orator, he was a good darshan, and this is Chelak Dalet Simon Kuf Pei Zayah, and he says that there was this guy who darshan in public that Moshe Rabbeinu is a god, is a divine figure. And that can easily, you can see how someone makes a mistake. Well, Moshe's called Zotza Barcha, Asher Barach Moshe, Ish Elohim, right? So there's the man of God. So like, and the things that Moshe does, you can imagine how someone might make a mistake, that he is somewhat divine. So, v'lo matzasi tam lefotro mina ones, I didn't find a reason to exempt him from punishment. Zulas b'nei shehu toa b'inu no. He made a mistake in his understanding. V'takanato kilkalto. So that what should have brought him to greater perfection by studying the topic more, it brought him to ruin. He's no better than someone who has made a mistake in one of the basic principles of faith. You're not called a heretic if you examine a topic and you come to the wrong conclusion. And he says, this is actually called Rav Hillel, it's not actually Hillel. There was something, not the Hillel Azakim, there's something Rav Hillel. Hoya Adam Gadol, he was a great man, V'tov Echa Mikari Hadas. Sha'amar Elohim Mashiach Yisrael. So this is in Perek HaChelet in Sanhedrin. There was a Rav Hillel who said that basically Mashiach's not coming. There was a Mashiach, and it was supposed to be Chizkiyahu, but what happened? He lost the opportunity. And it says that explicitly in the Gemara, by the way. He's quoted in the Gemara. Hillel's quoted in the Gemara. This is his position. Lo chashu kover chas v'shalom. And they didn't consider him to be a heretic. The Imlokin, if not the case, Echayu Omrim Shmuel Mishmo, then how could they have a teaching in his name? There's, why are they quoting him in the Gemara? They don't say, oh, by the way, he was a heretic. They didn't say that. He had a teaching. We disagree with him. It's not called a heretic.
I
understand. That's my point. So maybe
he was a heretic.
I understand. But but he probably violated halacha.
But we still quote him.
Oh, okay, no, but we also say that Acher was, we say that in Gemara, we mentioned he was a heretic. In other words, we mentioned that he was, but the point is, there's no indication at all that Rav Hillel was someone who was frowned upon because of his views. We disagree with it. There's a machlokas. Now there's like, you know what I'm saying? There's like, you have a tzidoki argues with a...
None of the Tanaim or Amorim were perfect, Right, we can.
I understand, but Acher is clearly viewed as someone who went off the derech in the Gemara. Rav Hillel is not viewed as someone who went off the derech in the Gemara. He's not viewed as anyone. He's viewed as I have a different shita. You know, by Bishav Yisrael, he viewed the Mashiach already came. That's the Ikar Emunah.
Just curious, are there different tiers with regards to the Ikar Emunah?
Yeah, so maybe, again, you could argue that maybe this is not as crucial as the other ones. Maybe. I would say something different. I would say, the Ram would say that maybe, like, sometimes heretical beliefs are contextual. So maybe it wasn't.
Yeah, he was right.
In other words, maybe it wasn't decided. I mean, once this ideology is decided, so then it becomes.
The ideology of what?
That once the Ikari Emunah become fixed, then if you go against it, then it's an issue.
And they were not.
So again, this time of Gemara, we all know exactly. The point is that we have not been fixed at the time of the Rambam. No, there could. Like, I'll put this one.
Yeah, but then.
No. So I would say the following. There could be, this might be a different shear, but there could be certain. There could be certain. It could be the first five.
No one's going to say the first five were not codified.
Correct. The first five perhaps were always, and maybe the other ones were not crystallized at some point. Maybe. So the. The point is that. But here's the point. But Kamu Vuar, the reason's clear. Kevin She'en Kfi Roso. That basically, if your heresy is only because that basically you think that the results of your speculation is true, so therefore you're an ones and you're pater. So that's like, so again, you have Machlokas Rabban versus, let's say, Rabban and the Radvaz. The Rabban will say, if you have a heretical view, you're a heretic. You're never hapikoros. So what can you do? That you're still hapikoros, you're still a heretic. Right, whereas the Ravid and the Radbaz would presumably say that no, if it's based on speculation, you come to the wrong conclusion. And this goes really to the question, maybe, you know, that God, you know, you try your best, but you know, God has a role to play also. You try your best, and you try to get to the Eves. You don't get there. You reach a different conclusion. So you're viewed as an onus. Who are we to judge? You know, so the ideology is there. You have a heretical ideology, but you're not defined as a heretic because it's not your fault.
So what would make you a heretic then? Would it only be if you believe there's a God, but you go around saying there's no God?
Maybe. Or? So it's not clear exactly. It sounds like
you can reach the same conclusion, but without doing your proper hishtadlus.
That's what it seems like. Again, I don't know what would make you a heretic. But it seems if you engage in all the speculation. Right, then you don't get it. So it seems that God has a role to play. Someone who doesn't hold against Rav Chana Wasserman. Rav Chana Wasserman, right? So he lived right before the war, before the Holocaust. He was one of the Gedolim before the Holocaust. He was in Europe, and he said, "It must be understood. How can there be a mitzvah to believe regarding mitzvahs pertaining to the limbs, the evarim? There could be a mitzvah to perform this or refrain from doing that, for that is in man's control." Right, depending upon his will to act or refrain from acting. However, belief in God and his Torah come on their own, so that either way, if one has this faith, there is no need to command him to believe. And if, God forbid, faith has been cut off from his heart, he cannot attain it. How can you command someone to believe? Either you believe or you don't believe. He would appear to be completely coerced in this matter, for his heart compelled him. We see, however, for the laws of the Torah, the sin of heresy is very severe. Right? So he's trying to struggle with this. How can you say that on the one hand, like there's a prohibition of heresy? Either you believe or you don't believe. Like, it's not your fault. You know, you can try all you want, it's not your fault. So he says, the fundamentals of faith in and of themselves are simple and compelling for any person who is not a fool. It being impossible to doubt their truth. This is true provided that a person not be bribed, that is, that he be free of this worldly lust and desires. This heresy is not rooted in a breakdown of reason in and of itself, but in a person's desire to satisfy his lust, which distort and blinds his reason. So that is a very, Rav Chanan Wasserman says, basically, there's nothing we cannot handle. Rav Chanan Wasserman cannot conceive of the possibility that Hashem will command us to believe something when we cannot achieve that. So therefore, he's forced to say that it's our yetzer hara, it's our desire. It's not really like intellectually we don't want to, we went through the sugya and then we came up believing there's no God. We are being tempted by a yetzer hara. The Raivin and the Radvan is saying, no, it's not true. You can go through the analysis, and intellectually, you don't come to the right conclusion. Rechon Wasserman said, it's impossible that a Kadosh Baruch Hu would command us to do something that we can't handle. It's an interesting machloket. So he says, it has to be based on your Yetzer Hara. Okay, I don't know. But that's what he says. So that's another shita. I mean, you can fit that into the Rambam. I don't know if the Rambam will say that. But Rechon Wasserman, he basically says, anyone who's a kofar, I think a lot of people who go off the derech, they are motivated by the Yetzer Hara, and they say, you know, I just don't believe in God, but so the Yetzer Hara. But to say that everyone, it's a little hard for me, and that's what he said, but it's hard for me to...
Someone who doesn't have the knowledge, who isn't taught any of this, is not going to.
Right. So I think it's going to say that someone who has the knowledge. I think someone who has the knowledge and he's definitely going after Yetzer Hara.
What's his background, Rav Chaim Wasserman?
He's like a yeshiva. So he's a Europe.
But is he from
the Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim?
Yeah. So again, he said that obviously it can't be. It's not like he does. It's if you have these bad beliefs.
Is it like a Muslim movement?
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
Rabbi Dozmir is going to say that the people that believe in the theory of evolution, that's their own religion. They have their own belief.
Why is that? I think you can believe in evolution and be. And you just have to say the first thing came from God. The rest of it was
read Rabbi Nathan Flick.
Right. So that's. This is an interesting question, right? The question is, does belief, not believing in God, does that definitely come from your Tzahara? Or can it come? You just don't believe. What can you do? You know, so that's Raivin and the Radvaz would say, what can you do? Right, I'll read you one more take. Rav Kook says, this is an Igrot HaRiyah, the 20th letter, we just have the English translation. Even though it's absolutely forbidden and an evil sickness to even to doubt or question matters of our perfect faith, we nevertheless find that Chazal judge is a heretic, only one who denies outright, one who reaches the opposite determination. That antithetical determination cannot possibly be found in Israel in any individual who is not an absolutely wicked man and an intentional liar. For even the greatest wickedness can cast doubts only among the weak-minded. He who dares to say that he denies with certainty must be an absolutely wicked man, who is rightfully judged with all the punishment explicitly assigned to him. What he's saying is, most people are really agnostics, they're not atheists. Most people say they're atheists, they're really agnostics. To be an atheist, you have to be wicked. So he's not going as far as Rav Chaim Wasserman. But he's saying, most people will say, listen, do I know for sure there's a God? He does all these bad things. I don't know for sure. Like you say, I don't believe in God. What you really say is, this doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. So what Cook does, he excludes almost everyone from being a heretic based on that definition. So that's how he deals with the question. Similar to Rav Chaim Wasserman, but he brings most more people to not being a heretic. And as he said, you have to be an absolutely wicked person to be a heretic, but you have to intentionally deny it. Most people say they're an atheist, they're not really an atheist. So basically, what you have is, we have sort of, I guess, four shitos here. I'll finish with one more shito. We have the Rambam, who basically says, you know, if you don't believe, that's it, you're a heretic. We have Rav Chaim Wasserman, who's giving shot at the Rambam, presumably. Again, Rambam does not necessarily say that, but he's giving shot. He's saying, because anyone's a heretic is driven by his Yetzer Hara. We have the Radvaz and the Raivin who says that no, if it's based on intellectual, it's based on, you know, speculation, and you get it wrong, so how can you be held culpable for that? You're an Ones and you're Pater. And then we have Rav Kook who says that no, only if you're an atheist are you deemed the heretic. But most people, they're not atheists, they're only agnostics. And if you're an agnostic, you're not really a heretic. And then finally, the Rambam, of course, holds if you're a Tina Chedishba, if you weren't given the opportunity, which is probably most people nowadays, if you're not given the opportunity, you know, someone not grow up from, so then obviously your view is a Tina Chedishba, and you're not held culpable. So these are different ways to look at people who got off the derech or who never were on the derech to begin with, and how we view them. You have to view they're definitely bad people, or that's, you know, Rav Chaim Wasserman, you definitely feel that their Yetzer Hara got the best of them, or you can say, no, you know, this is what they believe. You know, you obviously try to be Makar of them, but like you said, it's probably based on your question. Do you believe it's basically, it's all on you? Rav Chaim Wasserman says, it's all on you. God tells you, you have to believe it's all on you. Or do we say that you have to try the best you can, but it's really a two-way street. It's you and God. For some people, I feel fortunate. I feel connection with God. Someone else, we try really hard. He doesn't have a connection with God. What can you do? You know, so it's really a two-way street. So this is a place to understand. Okay.